And the premise of this book is, it's a book written by Dr. Gary Chapman. It's called The Five Love Languages. And he says that everybody has a love language. And we need to find out what their love language is, and we need to meet that language. Now, here once again, I'm going to go back to something I just said before. Some of us are so hard-hearted, and some of us are so insensitive that we don't even care what another person's love language is around us. It don't mean, you know, because, you know, even if I knew, I'm not even going to try to meet it. But he said, and I thought, you know, this thing is deep, that everybody has a love language. You know, everybody has a love language. Let me ask the question before we even, before I start talking about them or put the next ones up. Do you know what your mate's love language is? I don't want you to raise your hand now because you might get embarrassed. I don't see you get slapped upside the head now. Do you know what your mate's love language is? Secondly, do you know what your children's love language is? Do you know the people that are meaningful in your life, do you know what their love language is? And as you think about what their love language is, are you trying to meet that love language in their life? Once again, we have the mandate from Scripture. Paul said to love one another. We have that mandate. The first love language is what Dr. Chapman calls words of affirmation. And these are the language that people hear. These are words that either affirm us or take us down. You know, these are things that, you know, man, you look so nice today. You know, your hair looks nice. You know, you just do such wonderful things in my life.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2. Join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2.
Because we are so focused on self. We are so focused on our self-interest and our own identity that we are insensitive to others around us. But we need to go look in that second box. And we need to see that we are the answer. And that as far as affirmation is concerned, that we don't need to wait for somebody else to do it. You know, that we don't need to delegate that to someone else. But, hey, there goes the answer right there. That second box, that's the answer right there. The problem was in the first box. The answer is in the second box. And why is it that people don't affirm one another? Insensitivity. So caught up on self. So much looking at self that we fail to look at those around us. Another reason that people don't reaffirm others is because they take others for granted. You know, what? They're going to be there. You know, I don't have to affirm them. You know, they're always going to be around. You know, we know that they're not going anywhere. And so we take other people for granted. God forbid. And you know, one of the things that I find out, and I'm going to say this, and I guess I'm speaking primarily to me right now, is that, you know, when you don't spend time with the Lord, you're not sensitive to people around you. Because I find that when I'm spending time with God, God lets me know when people around me are hurting. God lets me know when people around me are being taken for granted. But if I just go through my life, if I just tiptoe through the tulips and never spend any time with God, I'm not going to be aware of these issues that are in the lives of other people. And so sometimes we just take people for granted. And if you spend time with God, I guarantee you cannot spend time with God on your face in prayer, in Bible study, seeking him, and walk away taking somebody for granted. Because God is going to show you. The Holy Spirit, man, will convict your heart right there and let you know somebody in your life is being taken for granted. Why is it that we don't affirm other people? We don't affirm other people because we're insensitive. Oh, I know it's quiet in here. I know it's quiet. That's all right. That's all right. The screen is preaching, though. Amen, screen. Amen. All right. Because we're insensitive, all right, and then we just take other people for granted. What's the third reason that we don't affirm other people? You know why? The hardness of our heart. The hardness of our heart. We know we need to affirm other people, but you know what? We are just plain old stubborn, and we don't want to do it. We just refuse to do it. And yet and still, God says, outdo one another in showing honor. But we are stubborn, and we are hard-hearted, and we think that, well, you know, if I show them some sensitivity, then maybe they're going to want something out of me. Or, you know, they did me wrong back in 1901, and, you know, I'm still not going to show any affirmation. You know, just the plain old hardness of heart. And that's why people don't do it. Another reason, and we're going to show you this today, they don't know how to do it. Some people just don't know how to affirm other people. You know, you might go up and say something and say the complete wrong thing. And then you'd have messed everything up. You thought you was going to affirm, and then you said the wrong thing, and you got people upset with you. So sometimes we just don't know how to do it. But I'm going to show you how to do it today. I'm going to show you how to affirm today. And then I was thinking about this one right here, and I said, you know, a reason that people don't affirm is just anger. Anger. They are so angry that they don't see the good in other people. And if they do see it, they got too much baggage in the way to express it. You know, I just see a lot of people who are dealing with anger, just filled with anger and filled with rage. And you know what? When you're filled with anger and you're filled with rage, you don't want to affirm anybody. You know, you look at a lot of single ladies that's raising children. And the only thing I can do is I just go back to, you know, what I see, you know, and as I'm out and about, I just see a lot of angry, I see a lot of angry young African-American men. A lot of angry young African-American men. And I see a lot of angry females that are raising children. And sometimes, you know, that anger is vented on the child. Sometimes the anger is vented toward others. And sometimes people are so busy being angry that they don't have time to, they can't affirm somebody else because there's so much rage and bitterness and anger in their heart. And even if they see the fact that they should be affirming somebody, that there's too much in the way for them to be able to get to that. And God is speaking to our hearts, my brothers and sisters, and God is saying that, you know, we need to be people of affirmation. People of affirmation. Oh, it was so affirming today when I got up and led the doxology for people to clap and tell me, you did all right. That was affirming. You know what was affirming? You know what was affirming? A couple of weeks ago when I sang, deep, way down deep. All right? And people said, man, somebody said, you got it, Pastor, you got it. And you need to keep it. But, you know, affirming, affirmation. Affirmation, and that's what God has called us to, is this whole idea of affirmation. Now, as we look at affirmation, I want to talk about affirmation through the five love languages. And in the Bible, we see two passages that talk about love one another. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So we are to be about showing love to one another, and that is through affirmation. That one of the key things about affirmation is showing love. Five love languages. Let me share it with you. I started on this during my series on 1 Corinthians, and I didn't get into it, but I want to get into it today. Affirmation through the five love languages. And the premise of this book is, it's a book written by Dr. Gary Chapman. It's called The Five Love Languages, and he says that everybody has a love language, and we need to find out what their love language is, and we need to meet that language. Now, here once again, I'm going to go back to something that I just said before. Some of us are so hard-hearted, and some of us are so insensitive that we don't even care what another person's love language is around us. It don't mean, you know, because, you know, even if I knew, I'm not even going to try to meet it. But he said, and I thought, you know, this thing is deep, that everybody has a love language. You know, everybody has a love language. Let me ask the question before I start talking about them or put the next ones up. Do you know what your mate's love language is? I don't want you to raise your hand now because you might get embarrassed. I don't see you get slapped upside the head now. Do you know what your mate's love language is? Secondly, do you know what your children's love language is? Do you know the people that are meaningful in your life, do you know what their love language is? And as you think about what their love language is, are you trying to meet that love language in their life? Once again, we have the mandate from Scripture. Paul said to love one another. We have that mandate. The first love language is what Dr. Chapman calls words of affirmation. And these are the language that people hear. These are words that either affirm us or take us down. You know, these are things that, you know, man, you look so nice today. You know, your hair looks nice. You know, you just do such wonderful things in my life, and you know, you are so, and you know, some people need to hear that. Words of affirmation. Did I hit somebody this morning? Did I hit somebody to say, oh, okay, that's what my mate's love language is? That, you know, they need the words of affirmation. They need to be affirmed. You know, my children, they, you know, and I'm gonna say this, that most children, when you think of love language, that this is what they need right here. They need words of affirmation. They need someone telling them that they're on the right road. They need someone telling them that they're doing something good. That's their love language. That's their receptor language. And, you know, if you go out in the street and you see people that get involved in gangs and things of that nature, guess what? Somebody's speaking their love language. Somebody say, hey, it's all right to go and rip somebody off with a gun. Hey, it's all right to go and let's go rob somebody. That's the language. They're affirming, their words are affirming where these individuals are, and they're going out doing the wrong thing. Somebody said that over the lifetime of a child, that they hear, I don't know what it is, billions of words. And those billions of words that they hear, those words go to shape their character. And I asked the question today, who's speaking most of the words that our children hear? If it's coming from MTV, if it's coming from out of the street, then guess what they're being affirmed in? They're being affirmed in things that are negative. And yet and still, a child can come into a home where there's supposed to be love and encouragement and support and not get any words of affirmation. When was the last time that you affirmed? You know, so busy getting on your kids and on your grandkids or whatever that you haven't taken the time to affirm them. You know, I got to admit, man, I stand here today. You know, I made a lot of mistakes, you know, with my kids, trying to raise my kids. But you know what? I look at my grandkids now, and one thing I try to do every time that I see them, every time that I see them, I try to affirm them in something. I try to speak some affirmation. Now, once again, because I know, you know, I came over here Friday evening, we had a little party out there, the children's choir, and my granddaughter was out there making all kind of noise about this and getting in line and that. I said, Tasia, what's all that noise about now? You know, so you know, you could spend all your time correcting them and getting on them because, you know, kids are always doing things sometimes that they shouldn't be doing. But they need words of affirmation. The second love language that he talks about, and some of y'all going to like this right here, is gifts. Some people need a tangible object, and that's, I knew it was coming, some people need a tangible object, and it says, I was thinking about you, and I want you to have this because I love you. Now, let me quickly say this, if somebody gives you a gift, and then they say, I'm going to give you this gift because I want you, I'll give you this gift if, then you know what, that wasn't love language at all. That wasn't love language. That was self language because they're trying to see what they can get out of that situation. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you can value another person. You know, flowers. You know, it's just like, you know, they asked this guy one time, you know, what his wife's favorite flower was. And he said, well, I asked my wife, you know, I thought I knew what my wife's favorite flower was, but she hit me in the head with a pan. And they said, well, why does she do that? And he said, I took her favorite flower. And they said, what was that? He said, Pillsbury. I said, gifts. You know, when some people, and once again, you know, you got to work now, and let me distinguish something right here between gifts in this area of love language and, watch this now, watch this, high maintenance people. All right. Oh, y'all done got quiet on me there. All right, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good now. All right. I'm not talking about high maintenance folk now. You know, I'm talking about, you know, because, you know, you love somebody and you want to express that love to them in the gifts. And for some people, that's very meaningful. You know, is your mate's love language gifts? Or your children's love language gifts? You know, sometimes it don't have to be, you know, expensive gifts. You know, just things to say that, you know, hey, I love you and I'm thinking about you. A third love language that he talks about is what's known as acts of service. And in this acts of service, you know, this is something that you do for another person to show your love for them. You know, that I know that this person loves me because they always have dinner prepared for me when I come home in the evening. I know that this person loves me because, you know, they check my car for oil and they look at my wiper fluid, and they're doing that because they love me, all right? Acts of service that some people need to see you do something for them in order to have that love need met in their life. A fourth thing that he talked about is quality time. You know, the next love language that he said is quality time. You know, some people, you show them love just by spending time with them. And, you know, that's not both of y'all being in the same room and my man watching Monday Night Football and you talking on the phone with one of your sisters. You know, that's not quality time, all right? In this whole idea of love language, it means that we spend some quality time together. We spend time where we have shed out everything else, and we're coming together because we value each other. Once again, what's the definition of affirmation? To give another person value, that we value each other and we want to spend this quality time together. And then the final area that he talks about here is physical touch. Physical touch. And this deals with the whole idea of, you know, a hand touch. You know, once again, when we talk about physical touch, we're talking about husbands and wives, you know, doing physical touch now, all right? Now, with your children, you do another kind of touch, all right? But, you know, just the whole idea of, you know, touching someone and affirming. And, you know, that's another thing. Whenever I see my grandkids, I try to touch, you know, some kind of, give me five, give me a pound, you know, give me a hug, you know, something, you know, that affirmation of touch, because people need to have touch. They need to feel touched in their life. And that's a very affirming to them. So let me go back and ask the question. Do you know what your partners, your mate, do you know what their love language is? All right? And you know, and when was the last time you met that person's love language? What about your children? Do you know what your children's love language is? And when was the last time you met it? And once again, as I stand here today, you know, I just stand here kind of preaching to myself and saying, you know, there's some areas where I'm doing this thing right and other areas where I'm not doing it so right. And I just want to encourage us today, you know, to affirm other people around us, understand what their love language is, and be affirming. As I close today, I want you to look at how do we give affirmation? How do we give affirmation? Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That by your words, you can speak life to someone. And by your words, you can speak death. And so God has called us to this ministry of affirmation that we will speak life to those who we come in contact with. that we would not speak destructive words, that we would not speak negative words, that we would not tear folk down, that we would not bring people down, but we would have a ministry of building other people up through affirmation. And what are some things that we can do to give affirmation? Number one, be specific. When you give affirmation, be specific. Don't come with some flowery generalities, you know, talking about, well, you know what, you're such a wonderful person. Well, you know, that's good to know, but you got to be specific. You know, you got to tell them what they did that is valuable was valuable to you. What did they do that was notable? What are you making note of? Oh, you're just such a great person. You know? Be specific. That's we're talking about meaningful affirmation. That you pick something out. You know, the other day I went to my granddaughter. She had a program at her school, and I went over there and they did the flag from A to Z. You know, they went. You know, it was a program too. It was a program. And my granddaughter, she got up there and she was up there for every bit of 15 seconds. And after the program was over, I sought her out because she had the letter W. And I went over there. W is for waving. And that's what we do with the flag. We wave it. All right. Man, you did a great job with that W. You know, be specific. You know, tell them exactly what it is that you are affirming them in. The second thing, be sincere. You know, don't affirm someone if it's not true. Don't exaggerate and don't use it as a form of manipulation. Say what you really mean. You know, sometimes we try to butter, you know, they call it butter them up. We're not talking about buttering people up. That when you give affirmation, be sincere. Find something that you can truly affirm that person in and do that. The third thing is be timely. Affirm people right away. Don't wait till what they did is ancient history. All right, you know, try to affirm them as soon as you can, and get that affirmation in. And then finally, be personal. Always make your affirmation personal. Don't just acknowledge their work or their efforts, but relate something to their character, or to their integrity, or to their person. Be personal, because if I see that you're not giving me a bunch of fluff, but you're relating to who I am, the integrity of my character, my person, that's more meaningful. And so we see here, like the Apostle Paul, God has called us to this ministry of affirmation. And some of us will have difficulty. Some of you sitting here today will have difficulty affirming others because you haven't been affirmed by God yourself. And the first step for your affirmation is for you to come and give your heart to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, when he, you know, when you think about, man, God loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me, man, that's so affirming. And so maybe you're here today and you need to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't know about the rest of you, and maybe this is just Pastor Glaze, but I know I come up short. And I come up short sometimes with the people who are closest to me. And I know that I need to come before the Lord and ask the Lord to help me to do the things that I need to do to affirm the people that need to be affirmed. And I don't know if that is your case today, but I pray that as we pray and God has spoken to your heart about something, that you would deal with it before the Lord today. Whatever it is that he has communicated to you in this message, I ask that you would allow him to have his way in your life. Not only so that God would be glorified, but you would just become a better person as a result of it.
Thank you for joining us today for the first half of How to Push Your Family. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Joy of Affirmation, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.